Hey guys, it's me, Ron Funches. You know it's me because I host this show. It'd be weird if you didn't know my name, but that's okay. I'm not egotistical. Maybe you don't. Either way, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Now, I've had myself, I love the mother's meatloaf. It came with some great seasoned meatloaf, some potatoes. It tasted just like something my mom would make, but it was made by my wife, which then confuses our whole relationship. But it's all love. And I love HelloFresh. And I want you to try America's number one meal kit today. Go to HelloFresh.com/Funches12. Use that code Funches12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/Funches12. And use the code Funches12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting me in any way that you do, whether you buy a t-shirt at ComedianTees.com, if you support the Patreon at Patreon.com/GettingBetterWithRon. We appreciate everyone that supports us very much. And I have my show coming out, I believe August 7th. Who knows? You know how these things go. But we got this Ultimate Slip and Slide show coming to NBC. We got Chop 420 available on Discovery Plus. And I'm back on the road. I'm going to Austin, Texas, July 1st through 3rd. I will be in Nashville. I will be in Portland this summer. I will be in Baltimore. So go to ronfunches.com, get tickets, look for me in your area. I appreciate it. But let's get right to the intro. You know how we like to do. I hope you're feeling strong. I hope you're feeling brave. I hope you're feeling loved. I hope you're grateful for that love. I hope you're feeling a sense of freedom and rebirth as things seem to be springing back forth everywhere I look. I have been back out doing sets and just the traffic alone. I did a set in West Hollywood and 5 minutes out of stepping out of my Uber, I got offered an ounce of weed and a lady said she just drew from Vegas and wanted to know what the whole hubbub was about. So I was like, oh, LA is back, baby. We are back at it. The weirdos are out and everyone's back out doing comedy. I saw some friends. I saw some colleagues. I saw people I haven't seen in a couple years that I love, like Morgan Murphy, who gave me a wonderful Ja Morant card because she saw me tweet that he's my new favorite basketball player. And it's just little things like that that made me feel so happy to get back to work and be passionate about the things that I do and to love life again. And I hope you are. But most of all, I hope you're not falling back into old habits. I hope you're not going back into a pre-pandemic lifestyle and not honoring the lessons that you learned during this pandemic. Most of all, I hope that in a time where we've been through so much trauma and so much stress and so much oppression and so much isolation, that when we have this ability to be free, I hope you take it. I hope you take it to be yourself and be who you truly are. Never be afraid to show who you are. And that if you feel like you have to, like, there's just something you see in my business, especially, where people will sometimes hide parts of themselves in order to protect their brand, in order to protect their money, their jobs. And to me, you've already lost at that point. If you can't be yourself, if you can't say how you really feel, then what's the point of living? What's the point of being free? What's the point of being an adult? And I know I'm not like one of those people like, well, you got to be able to say what you want at all time and you shouldn't be in trouble. Da, 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 you can't cancel anybody. I'm not saying that. Everybody has to play their position and you got to know who you can say things to and what you can say at certain times. I get that. But it just reminds me of a quote that affected me when I was a young child from Shakespeare, from Julius Caesar, where it's a coward dies 1,000 times, a hero tastes of death but once. And you got to figure out which one you want to be. And sometimes it's hard, especially after you start getting a little bit of success. You start going like, okay, well, yeah, I'll do what you want. Well, thank you for giving me some money. Let me do whatever you want. And that can start going against the very thing that got you to where you are, which is being yourself, having that don't give a fuck attitude, having that, like, I do this because I love it and this is who I am. And you can't, I owe you nothing. You can't take anything from me. And that's what I love seeing back in stand up these days, is that people are back out. Some people aren't out. Some people are scared to get back out because they haven't done it in a year and a half. But I salute anybody that is scared and then gets up and does it and does bomb, doesn't do as well as they were a year and a half ago, because there's no way you're probably going to do as well. But you're doing it because you love it, because you have to, because the art fulfills you. And that's the stuff that I relate to, and that's the things that I love right now. It's going out and seeing people like Morgan Murphy or Orny Adams or Bill Burr or whoever. And these are all different types of comedians, but they all love comedy and they all love what they do and they all push it as far as they can. And I love seeing that. So I just hope, because I just talk about myself, there's a time where I started getting a bit of work and then I get afraid to they like this. Even with losing weight, it was a battle of like, oh, should I lose the weight? They like me as a fat guy. Maybe I should be the fat guy in shows. And if I lose the weight, maybe I won't get any more work. And I would have people tell me that, oh, I don't know if you should lose weight because they like you like this. But it was the people on the show. It was people like Bill Lawrence. It was my mom. It was my family, the people who really cared about me, who were like, you're funny however you are. Be yourself. Do what you want to do. If you want to lose the weight, lose the weight. If you want to tell somebody to fuck off, tell them to go fuck off. If you don't like something, you don't like something. I just don't see the point in living through as many traumas and as many things that we've gone through and then to put ourselves in a box, to put ourselves in isolation, to put ourselves in constraints where you don't want to talk about your truth, what you really believe, who you really are. Be out, especially during Pride Month, baby. Be out, be proud, be whoever you are, kiss whoever you want to kiss, fuck whoever you want to fuck, love whoever you want to love, long as it's all consensual. Everything is good on my end. I love that. But don't be a coward, because that's just 1,000 deaths. If you're worried about your fucking brand, if you even using the word brand, I don't give a fuck about your brand. Tell me about your life. Tell me about your character. Tell me about who you are as a person. Tell me about what you believe in, what you stand for. That's more compelling to me than your brand. Our guest today is a great comedian, fucking road dog, a hustler out there grinding. Has a new special out. You can get on Amazon Prime and everywhere you get those specials. It's called La Vie en Rhodes. Please enjoy our guest, Miss Erica Rhodes. Enjoy it. Hey, Erica.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
How are you
doing?
You
have good lighting and you have good lighting. Your eyes are very lit up.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's also a really good camera.
Yeah, makes sense.
It makes it helpful. This camera's upgraded. So now that, like, when I get on, I look like I'm on TV. It's fun.
Professional. Yeah. You're such a pro.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm excited to talk to you, get to know you a little better as a comedy colleague. But I don't think, I mean, I've seen you perform, of course, run into you, but I don't know you too terribly well, besides the fact that we're both in a show together. I don't think we could say the name of it, but we're both.
I know. I keep wanting to say it on podcasts and stuff. And then I just say, yeah, I'm doing an animated thing.
How do you feel about it? Are you excited about it? Do you like? I don't know if you've done much more animated things before.
Not really, actually. People tell me I should do it all the time, but you know, that's an easy thing to say.
Because your voice, yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't done that many. I've auditioned a lot, but I didn't get any till this one. So.
What was your experience like? Did you like doing it? I liked it. I thought it was real fun.
I thought it was really fun. Yeah.
It's a blast. I can't wait. It is weird because I kind of just want to talk. It's hard to be vague about it.
I know. I saw a little clip from it and I thought the three of our voices are really funny together. So that's promising.
No, people know it's the Three Stooges reboot.
Oh, no.
Anime
secrets out of the bag.
Yeah. Lyrica, tell me a bit about yourself. I'm excited. I know about your special. Is it out now?
Yeah, it came out, I think, last week.
Okay. And it's all in front of cars, which to me sounds horrible. I did one show. I mean, not the special, but the idea of doing that doesn't sound fun to me. But was it?
It was actually fun, but only because they mic'd some of the cars so I could hear, you know, I could hear them.
The inside, not the engines, right?
No.
So people could rev up.
That would be horrible. Boom, boom. Yeah, they just mic'd the reactions, like, but only for about 20 cars. So sometimes I would think a joke would bomb and then suddenly there'd be honking like from the back and then there'd be like a wave of honking. So
that's interesting. Well, I guess I got less of a rude, like, how was it? More of my question is, why did you want to do that?
Well, I didn't initially but I was supposed to shoot my special as part of Tribeca in April. And so we had that lined up. They were going to do a few specials. And then obviously that got canceled. So then my manager was like, well, they're going to change it to the Rose Bowl in front of cars. And I cried because I was like, I don't want to do that. But then I sort of thought about it and I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of ready to move on from this material. And maybe it'll be unique and different and interesting in that way, just to do something different. And I wasn't really, you know, I was like, well, what else am I going to do? We don't know how long this is going to go on for. Mm-hmm. I just thought, I thought I would just take a risk and do it for better or worse.
Well, yeah, that's embracing the situation, right? As opposed to just wishing that it was the way you want it to be or the way you thought it was supposed to be. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen pictures and videos and it's beautiful with the Rose Bowl and the cards and things like that. So that's kind of an unintended plus that it looks so different and fun, right?
Yeah, I think it kind of looks like an event, you know, kind of that was like an event of that time. It'll be sort of dated forever. In a way, which, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it'll just be sort of like, oh, I decided to do that during the weirdest year ever. So, you know, I mean, there are things of course, we always feel that way. There are things I wish I may have done differently in the performance, but I feel like we're always going to feel a little bit like it wasn't perfect. But
material wise, did it change what you were going to do for the special or did it? Or were you so locked into what you were in ready to go that it just kind of just framed it differently? Or
I had a couple of jokes that I wrote on Zoom shows, you know, because I did a few Zoom shows and a few things sort of inspired that. So it's not like I did a lot of COVID material or anything, but I had a few things just about certain events and certain things. But it was very a small part of it.
I want to know, how do you feel about it?
About the special?
Yeah.
Like I said, I think there are things I'm really happy with. And then there's always, I'm just really hard on myself. So there's always things that I'm like.
No, but what you know what I mean. Now you're giving me the same thing twice.
Yeah, I'm like I just said a couple of questions ago.
But more like what are the feeling when you, I'm assuming you sat back and you watched it, what are the feelings that come up for you when you watch it?
Well, the feelings I come up with are there are some things I'm happy with and some things I'm not thrilled about. So I'd say I'm happy with like the second half of it more than the first half. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because the second half had material that was newer, like material I had written more recently. Mm-hmm. And the first half, I kind of felt like it was stuff I've already done and a few other, like I did an album already. So some of the jokes are repeated jokes. So even though a lot of people don't know them, I know them. So I'm like, oh, I can't listen to these jokes again.
Oh, you know, okay. Well, that kind of feeling. But that doesn't seem fair to yourself under the circumstances.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you felt like this, but I feel like what I enjoy doing on stage is shifting. Mm-hmm. And so because I know that when I watch it, it's more judgmental because I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm having fun. Even if it looks like I'm having fun, I'm like, I don't like doing that joke. Mm. So then I project it onto myself. So I have trouble watching my own stuff.
No, I get that. That's right? Always not fun.
I record every set religiously and then I like never listen to it. I'm like, I've got every single set I've ever done on my phone and I just don't even listen.
I know. I feel like I do the same thing. I record them all and then I don't listen unless something magical happens and I don't remember. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I need to hear that. Or if I was like, oh, it's special time. And then I'm like, I listen to every one of them. But other than that, I'm like, I have hundreds of voicemails of just me rambling that no one has ever heard, which are fun. That's fun right. to have.
You're supposed to learn from it. You're supposed to listen back and be like, what did I do wrong or whatever? And now I'm like, wow, I really need to go back and listen.
Yeah, but I don't think you can watch every piece of game tape. But so when did you shoot the special? In April? You said in April?
July.
So how were you able to prepare at all? Was it all Zoom shows at that point?
I did a few road gigs, actually. I just kind of went anyway.
I remember hearing about that on Jackie and Lori. And they were like, you can find out which places are open by checking out your calendar.
That's hilarious. I probably got a bad reputation, but I also didn't ever get sick. So knock on wood.
Let's talk about that a bit. What was that experience like? Because I felt, I took myself out of doing it just because I was like, I don't feel safe and I can afford to not do it. I can go focus on the acting or things. And then I saw some comedians where I was like, I don't know why they're doing it. They have more money than me, I'm pretty sure. But then there was other people. I mean, it was like, I need to get out of the way because I have some friends. I thought particularly like my friend Jeremiah Watkins, who's getting ready to have a baby coming. I was like, I can't judge him at all. He has to get on the road to feed his family. So in the position you were in at the time, and just tell me a bit about that because I was just highly interested.
Yeah. I mean, I just figured, you know, I know a lot of people were, you know, like have families and stuff. And so there's more people at risk in that way. And I guess I kind of lucked out because I'm just sort of flying solo this year. You know, I'm not like putting people that I'm concerned about at risk. I know obviously like everyone's concerned about everyone, but I just felt kind of like, you know, I'm healthy, I'm young, I'm okay. And I just decided to do it. Plus, I had this feeling, I know everyone says this, but I felt like I had it last March. Like I got sick twice. I got really sick twice. And I never get, like, if I get the flu, I don't get sick and then get sick again. So I was kind of like, this was really weird. And I kind of just had this feeling I already had it. And then I just went through this really like healthy phase of, I don't drink on the road. I take a ton of vitamins. Like, I'm just like really conscientious about that. So I think that helped. But, you know, obviously wore my mask, didn't do any meet and greets.
Was there any stress level changes, or did you find the shows more fun or less fun? Or could I imagine you could run into a boy that some people who were there are very excited to be there? Or is there, you tell me, I don't want to color it. You tell me.
Well, it was different. Every club was different, you know? So when I went back to Minnesota and did Acme, they had just opened, and they were being very cautious, you know, to the point where the chairs were as far away from each other as cars would be. You know, they were so spread out. So it was very challenging, but the people really wanted to be there who came out, but you know, it felt very difficult. Like, you know, I had to really try hard to get laughs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they loved crowd work. I found everybody wanted crowd work because they were so desperate for connection.
Mm.
Everybody just wanted to connect. So if you did crowd work, it would just immediately break the ice.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing that with me, as I'm going to get back on the road soon too. And I have no material, so that's helpful.
Yeah, just go into they'll be so excited because they're just like, oh my God, someone's talking to me. I get to say something. But, you know, some clubs have been open a long time. Like Wise Guys has been open. And I went to Wise Guys 3 times. So I did all their clubs. And they just had a little bit more normal feel. It didn't feel as like scared because mm-hmm. they've been going out. So that felt a little bit better.
Mm. You said something that's interesting to me about, you said that at this time that, you know, you're just solo about it. And so to me, I want to know what's that been like through the pandemic of just, you know, being with yourself and relying on yourself. Have you learned that you feel that you're stronger than before? Do you feel like you've learned anything about yourself? Tell me.
I like when your voice gets all low, like you're suddenly going into talk show mode.
Thank you so much. I have a lot of range. People don't know sometimes.
You do have you can go really low and mm-hmm. then quite high.
Yeah, I can get up here and just have fun. Yeah. And then sometimes, and you then know, if I'm talking to my wife, I bring it down here, you know?
What was the question? Oh, it was, oh, what, like, am I stronger?
What was it like to be alone?
Tell me about your pathetic, lonely life. No, I think, I think I've been just doing a lot of work on myself, you know, so a lot of stuff that I needed to work on anyway, probably. But then I think because of the situation, it sort of forced me to get, you know, more into that stuff. I got a new therapist and he's really great and, you know, that kind of stuff. Cause I don't think I'm like in a place to date right now, just psychologically. So, so it's been good.
That's interesting to know about yourself. Some people don't know that about themselves and you put yourself in bad spots.
Yes. And I've been there, done that. And now I'm like, no, start fresh, focus on self-care, blah, bitty, blah, bitty, blue.
So it's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a perfect segue into what are your goals right now? What are you got your special out? You got mm-hmm. the show coming out soon. And what are your, I mean, not just career, of course, but just in your life and in spiritually, health-wise, whatever you got going on, what are your goals right now?
Well, I'm trying to just be more authentic in general. Like, that's been my main goal, is to be more real and more authentic with who I am, because I feel like I've sort of like been kind of this people pleaser my whole life.
Mm.
And that's, I think that gets in the way of a lot of things, mm-hmm. to always try to be like, yeah, I'm so sweet, you know, like that kind of thing. And it's not really a very real thing. Mm-hmm. So I think in my act and in my life, I'm trying to be like just more who I am.
When do you find that you feel most open to be yourself, or when you feel the most safe to be yourself?
I think when I really like trust people, like when I'm like, you know, when I know people a long time.
And so if it's you're around strangers or you're around new people, then it's the opposite.
Yeah, then I go into a mode of like, you know, hi, you know, yeah. overly cheerful and that kind of thing. And it's sort of, I don't know, it's sort of like a habit.
It's a classic comedian trope. I have it too, you know? It's fun for me to at least, a lot of my life has been, yeah, going from that balance, because I also would be like, well, I'm such a people pleaser. And then people walk all over me for a little bit. And then I go, get the fuck off me.
That's what I do too. Yeah, like I wait till I snap. I wait until I'm like, what is wrong with them? You know, like, why would they ever think I'd say yes to that? You know, after being like, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. When you're like, man, that first no would have been a lot easier than now looking crazy.
Yes, you get it.
I do get it. Well, I mean, I guess you've already been out on the road, but are you excited? How close are you with vaccinations? How are you excited about, I guess, getting on the road? Are you worried about that? What do you see about the future of your comedy right now?
I guess, well, right now I sort of need a break, I think, because I was out on the road quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't mind I am taking a couple weeks just to be here. So I'm actually excited to do a few local shows. I'm doing a couple local shows this week. And I really want to try new stuff. And it's hard on the road because you feel the pressure of delivering. You know, I feel like it's so hard to get that new stuff out sometimes.
That's true. I disagree at some point, because sometimes I don't feel like you're already here. I got you now.
Well, that's true. Like you're saying they bought tickets, right? And they're, yeah, that's a good point. Do you, what's your process? Do you ever just say, I'm just going to open with a bunch of new stuff? Or are you pretty like, do you have a process for when you put the new stuff in, or?
I mean, I'm always subscribed to the sandwich thing, you know, of like, I'll try something that I know works and then toss something new in. And then if it just cases bombs, there's something to lift it up afterwards. But my main thing the last couple of years had just been to treat a job like the stand up like I would any other job, which would be that I put off starting for as long as possible. You know, like, I get up there and I try to find something else. I try to find some fun. I try to connect with something or do something. I tried to make it more like a cohesive full show now, you know, so especially because I know my openers usually. And so usually my first 10 minutes are just commenting on my opener sets, which
I
think.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I think. And never in that like, oh, can you believe they sucked, or like, you know, I always hated that with a passion. Anytime you saw a headliner throw a opener under the bus because they might have not, you know, I might not have been that good at the time. But, you know. But you don't have to. I thought we were coworkers. You don't have to throw me under the bus.
That's the worst. That's the worst when that happens.
Yeah, I think it's anti-teamwork. So like either I'll come in and talk about how great they were or comment on their sets, or I'll talk about like, why didn't you guys, these are my friends, I brought them here, why didn't you give them the level of love and respect that they deserved, you know? And so I'll do that for a bit and then do some local stuff. I'll get some real, you know, old school headlining stuff where I'm like, let's just get local for a while.
I know. I do the local thing so much because they just want that, you know, they want you to just acknowledge them for a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll just make stuff up about like I was in North Carolina and I said I felt like people in North Carolina were like hipster, like they were like hipsters who wanted to have a job, so they moved to North Carolina and like and I just guessed that, you know, like it was just a total guess. And someone was exactly right. You totally nailed it. Oh,
that's so funny because that's like one of those things where if you're like, I could have said anything. You would have been like, nailed us. You nailed us.
I know. You just, you take a specific thing like of one person you see. You're like, that guy is this guy. And then you just think, oh, there's probably more than just that guy.
Hmm. Oh, I love how this conversation has gone naturally so that I can now go back and do old school hosting stuff and tell me about your beginnings of your love of stand-up. That would have been horrible to start with, but now in the middle, it's good.
Yeah, it's surprising in the middle, actually.
Mm-hmm. I don't know your history. I want to know.
Well, I started in radio when I was 10. So I started on a radio show called A Prairie Home Companion.
I did know that.
Which is in the Midwest. And so I did that and then did acting, and the acting was just not going anywhere. And I got very frustrated because I was, you know, performing was so in my blood. I was like, I don't know what to do if I don't perform. And I didn't really want to do theater in LA. So I had a bad audition one day and I got frustrated and I was like, that's it. I'm going to start stand up and just take this into my own hands. And so I did an open mic and then that sort of, and then I just kept doing it.
Why stand up?
Why stand up?
Yeah.
Because because I love performing. So I love the live, I love the immediacy of stand up. Mm-hmm. That it's live, that it's in the moment, that you get to express your own thoughts. It's not like with acting, it's not that creative in a way because you're not building something out of nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas stand up, you get to say whatever you want to say.
Mm. That's which cool.
Yeah, it's liberating.
I love that about it. It is so liberating. It is the thing. I even had that with my therapist recently. The same sense. She was like, well, I know, like, she's like, your acting's going well and your voice acting's going well and stuff. But she's like, but you need to get back on the road because you have to do stand up because that's the thing that makes you happy. And you just don't seem that happy right now. And I was it gives me that serotonin, gives me that dopamine drip, gives me that buzz, and it allows me to have that balance to make the other things seem better for me. Where I'm like, okay, well, I can do this job, and I can feel like this line is completely funnier, and you tell me no, just. If I can then just go out and say whatever the hell, I might even make fun of you this weekend. That'd be great.
Right, right. You can get it all out there. Like you don't need permission.
Yeah.
You just kind of, you get to say whatever. So I don't think there's anything like it. Like, I don't think there's any other art form that's the same, like freedom, same feeling of freedom.
What do you want to, do you see yourself still being a jack of all trades and doing more acting and stuff? Or are you still like to focus mostly on stand up, or what do you feel now?
I really have veered away from the acting. Like, I'm not like pursuing it really. I mean, I'll audition if it's a perfect part for me, or, you know, it seems like, oh, I should definitely do this. But overall, I've really focused more on stand up. So that's been my main thing. And maybe writing, you know, trying to write something. I'm trying to write a film, which is very daunting. I'm trying to write a film with my friend. And I don't know if you've ever tried to write have you written a whole film?
No, I've written several pilots, full scripts of TV shows. I actually am currently trying to write one with my wife, but it's my first time. And I'm like, this is very daunting.
Yeah, because you have to, because the structure part I find intimidating.
Mm-hmm. It's like you know? three or sometimes four shows. And you have to keep track of so many different threads to make sure everything is right and that you haven't done anything too early or late. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to, and the dialogue is tough because you can't just say what's happening. You have to have, it's like visual. So where they are is different than what they're saying, and you can't say what they're actually wanting to say. And there's like subtext, and it's different writing a script.
Is that where you feel like you're headed though in your life and your career? That's what you want to do?
Not really. I'm just
No,
I'm just trying it, you know? I mean, I would like to be a creator. I'd like to make my own stuff. So I guess it does start with the writing.
So overall, it just seems like you just prefer being in charge.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I like about stand-up is you can write something, then you can try it, then you can know whether it works or not within a day. So it's immediate returns, whereas writing a script, you're like, so we're going to work on this for a year, then we're going to rework it, then maybe someone will read it, then maybe we'll get money to make it. Like, it's like, oh my God, there's that's so many true. Steps yes, to get it done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. You made me feel bad. Yeah. Okay. I've been working on this for a couple of years with no money. That's weird.
But that's good. You're pretty far along if you've been already working on it.
Well, not the movie. This is a different thing. But just projects in general, they always take so long.
They really do. But you've got, I mean, it's worth it. You know,
it is, but I find it messes with my ego never matches the outside world. Because I'm like, you know, I did this. I feel great. And then 6 months later, people see it. And they're like, oh, you did this. And I go, yeah, but I already spent that money. I'm on the hunt for a new job.
Yeah. It never feels like you're quite done or you've arrived anywhere.
No, I mean, that's kind of what the podcast is about. That everybody's about getting better. Nobody feels like they made it. And that's the thing that's been fun for me to learn to give up is to this like, oh, when am I going to make it? What am I going to do? I just before we did this podcast, I did a podcast with Tom Lennon. And we just talked about how he's just like, at the end of the day, like, I'm just doing the same things that I did when I started, and I was just doing at the state and just finding my wigs, doing my sketches, writing my stuff. And I'm still doing that years later. And he's like, that's because I love it. That's what I like to do. And I'm like, that's perfect to me when you can like, it's so childlike and playful. It's almost like, well, it's like that thing where you're like, when you're a kid, you could play freeze tag every day, even though it's such a simple game of just running around and tagging someone. But you're like, I could do this every day because it's simple and I love it. And that's how I kind of feel about like just not just stand up, but just writing, creating all mm-hmm. of it together. It's just like, the money's fun, that's fun, and the recognition ebbs and flows, but the act of doing it, the act of being around great people and great minds, especially is fun when it's other comedians. Nothing more fun to me than when it's like two stand-ups on a regular acting thing where you're like, where we're both like, everybody, the rest of these fuckers are crazy, right?
I know. It's like a different, there's like a certain comedy brain, right? That's like, other people don't quite get it.
Yeah. I think it's I think it just allows you to pull yourself out of yourself, be more objective, be more, because you're often comment on like, oh, this thing I even just did is stupid and funny, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's not a skill that a lot of people use. So then you're just, and then acting in general usually requires you to be a little bit more like about yourself. So then you're like,
right. Yeah. So they're completely not self-aware.
Yeah. Usually. Well, you know, this is a stereotype. There's some great
actors. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's wonderful, straight up actors that are great. But a lot of, I've also met some that are the weirdest great people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. Same with comics, I guess.
That's, you know, a good point too.
Yeah.
Tell people where they can see your special. What else you want to promote? Let's do a plug session.
Well, they can see it on the Comedy Dynamics site, or it's on, now it's on Vimeo, YouTube. It'll be on Amazon soon, iTunes, you know, all those platforms.
How do you feel about that? How you feel about your distribution and your thing? Because you said it in a tone that felt a little bit like, well, you, it's in things.
Well, I just find it kind of exhausting to like how to promote it in a concise manner is tough when it's just like multi-platforms. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, it's just out. It's, you'll find it. Just, it's out there.
Just type it in there. Tell people the name of it.
Yeah. I mean, I also, there's been a delay with Amazon. So maybe you were like, you were hearing my frustration with that because it was supposed to be up last week. And then Amazon has some weird rollout system now. So like, it, I don't know when it's going to be up. So then I had to keep getting emails from people like, it's not on Amazon. I don't know how to watch it because it's not on Amazon. So
That's the worst. It's like, it feels like when you're at a front-facing customer service job and you got to go talk to the boss and the customers and you're like,
yes, look, I'm like, just, it's not my job. I already did my job. Like, yeah, that's so true.
Like, I'm just as frustrated as you. They don't tell me nothing.
Right.
Hey, Erica. Did you tell us the name of your special? I don't think said it.
It's called La Vie en Rose.
Okay. All right. I feel like you got to get a little bit more precise on your promo. Like, it's out there. Go get it. It's somewhere. I'm not even going to tell you the name, but find it.
I'm not the best. I'm not great at promotion. Yeah, my special is La Vie en Rose. It's on a multi-platform release and it will be on Amazon shortly. Check it out.
You see, you know how to do it if you wanted to. You choose.
I have to put on
to.
That voice. I have to put on that voice, though.
You put on your people pleaser like, voice.
Yeah, I have to do like a professional voice. My special, you're gonna love.
Well, I like that you're trying to be more authentically yourself, and that you're not being as much of a people pleaser. That seems good.
Trying. I mean, it's very new, you know?
Oh, it's very new. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you don't have to get precise or anything to tell us anything interesting, but is there, what did you find so negative about it recently that you had to make a change?
I think I feel just like it's an across the board problem. So it wasn't like a specific thing. It was more that if I want to connect to, like, if my main goal is to connect with people, especially like in my stand up, well, then I just have to find them. I have to be more authentic because that's what people connect to. You know, they connect to that. So it's not just stand up, it's personal and everything. And
but was it,
I don't know.
You said, is it, was that the impetus though? Was it mostly, was it driven by wanting to get better at stand up or was it?
No, I think it's just all, it's when you look at your life and you say, where am I in my life and what's preventing me from getting to a different place? Like, you know, not just career, but like where I'm more comfortable with being myself in every situation. Mm-hmm. But then because we are, like our act is us, then if we're not real in real life, it's going to obviously translate to your act too.
I have always felt that way. That's why I wanted to double check with you to make sure before I was like speaking for you. But I always, just because my act is personal and I want to talk to you a bit about choosing the right personal, but because it is, I always felt like, oh, my, I have to, and I want to be happy and I want to be fun on stage. That means I have to do that in my actual real life, which means I have to clean up anything that's in the way. So it is weirdly for me that like there are the things that really got me into therapy was that I had just finished my first special and I was like, watched it and I was like, oh, I love it. I think it's great. I'm aware that in the future, hopefully I'll be much better. But for the time that I was there, I feel I did the best that I could. And that's all I can ever hope for. But going back and watching it, go like, oh, I want to get deeper on things. I want to see some things, the things if I was critiquing myself while watching this special, I would go, oh, like you touched on some wonderful things and then you seem like you pull away a little bit. And I was like, I need to get deeper. I need to get deeper in that, deeper in myself. And then it was also when I started dating my wife, when I was like, oh, I think this lady's great. And if I know my cycles, and if I know me, at one point, I'm going to find something wrong with her. And I'm going to try to throw her out and get rid of it because I'm afraid. And so I was like, I got to stop both of these things in their tracks. And that's when I started going to therapy. So I relate to that quite a bit. Hey guys, it's your boy, Ron Funches. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a work in progress and for getting better with me. And I also want to thank a sponsor, HelloFresh. You can skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. They are killing it. They don't need me to tell you about it, but they chose me to. And I appreciate it. Now, with HelloFresh, you can cut out stressful meal planning and get in grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get the dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. You can try HelloFresh quick and easy meals, 15 to 20 minute dinners, breakfast on the go, and more. Easy options, perfect for the busy lifestyle. Now, my wife, she has made me several meals with the HelloFresh. I've been busy working on a new show, working on the NBC Slip and Slide show. So I've been getting up early morning, 6 a.m. I don't get home until about 6:37 p.m. And nothing makes me feel better after a long day of watching people slip down long, giant slip and slides and joking about it. It's hard. It's stressful work. So I like it to come home and just smell that meatloaf in the air, smell that chicken cooking, smell everything going, and knowing that my wife didn't have a hard day putting everything together. She didn't have to go shopping to do it. She just had to open a box that came to the door and put it together for me. It makes me love her more, and it probably makes her feel like it was the easy thing to do. So I love it personally. You can go to HelloFresh.com right now. Go to HelloFresh.com/Funches12. Use the code Funches12 to get 12 free meals. That's a pretty good deal, including free shipping. That is HelloFresh.com/Funches12 and use the code Funches12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. So try HelloFresh today, America's number one meal kit.
Did you feel like therapy helped a lot?
Oh, most definitely.
With both things? Because obviously it must have helped your relationship because you got married, right?
Yes, definitely. Yes. Helped both. Definitely helped relationship because we got married for sure. The proof's in that pudding. And then it's helped my stand up of just letting me, yeah, like you said, just be more authentic, lead myself, be more aware of and happy with who I am. I don't know many people who go like, I started going to therapy and things got worse, you know? So
yeah, true. Good point. Although sometimes they have to get worse, I think, before they get better, just
true.
A little bit.
If you gotta address those problems, absolutely. And sometimes you gotta find the right person to talk to. But I think overall it's just, yeah, I think it was the same thing of me being like, I don't wanna So I used to in my teens and 20s, very much a self-sabotager. And I started put that away. And then I was like, oh, I can see myself going even further if I dig even more into myself and figure out what's why I self-sabotage or my eating addictions or whatever personal, you know, things I have. But I do want to talk to you just about writing personal. Why? I mean, I guess that's a silly question. I guess it's probably just because you like, that's what you like. That's
what writing personal stuff, you mean?
Yeah. Just because I was reading another interview about you where you talked about choosing not to write, you know, as observational as other, that you enjoy writing personal. But just to me, because I just find it interesting because that's just the style I love to do. And I find that that is often sometimes it feels more rewarding spiritually than it can sometimes feel economically or like crushing wise, you know, but I just want to talk to you about your style and about your comedy and what do you like about yourself and your style?
Well, yeah, I mean, when I watch stand up, that's what I connect to is when people get personal. Like I just watched Neil Brennan's special, which I know I should have watched it ages ago. I don't know how I never watched it, but have you seen it?
Mm-hmm. The three mics one?
Yeah. And I just found it really interesting that the emotional mic, he didn't even feel the need to really have like punchlines exactly. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of like very real. And so I just thought that was interesting because, you know, sometimes I think I'm too caught up. I do the personal stuff, but then I'm too caught up in having to have a punchline or having it to like, you know, that perfect joke structure. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like, well, maybe I just need to be, you know, be real first instead of trying to be funny, which I think that trying to be funny part is, I don't know, can also get in the way of being just honest or real. Mm-hmm. Feels like people are just craving that kind of honesty lately. They just want, they want to know you're saying something real and honest. And I can't sell things that aren't honest. Mm. So that's why I like to write things that really happen. Cause I can't, I know some people can come up with a clever twist, but then you can tell that it didn't really happen. And as a viewer, I just kind of, I don't know, I sort of disengage a little if I don't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just storytelling, right? And if you put me in your world and then you break the rules of your world, you've taken me out of your story. And nothing's worse to me when I've, you know, open mic or even just some shows I've seen at the Improv where the comic will be on stage and in one set they've had they're single, they have a girlfriend and they're married. And I'm like, well, which one is it? Which one of these is it?
That's a really good example. Yeah, you're kind of like, wait, in the beginning you mentioned a girlfriend and now you're talking about being divorced? Like what? Yeah, there's so many different things in the same set.
Yeah, she's like, tell me a cohesive story and that's the easier. And also I just found it's just easier for me to know my set. If it's real, like, you know,
exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to talk about this and talk about this and I'll talk about this because they happened and they were real and I'm flourishes. But I feel the same way with you. I think before, even in my I like a lot of my jokes, but then I can go back and see them and like, oh, like it's almost, you know, I've talked about with other comedians, but like I was playing for the back of the room. I was playing for the other comedians. I'm going like, oh, look at me. I could do a double tuck, back flip, turn, and then boom, here we go. We're at the end of the day. I found myself getting the biggest laughs off of just telling, like, sometimes I feel like I get my biggest laughs if I just say exactly how I feel. Mm. And that is such an uncommon thing that it forces a reaction of the audience to just laugh because they're not used to receiving direct honesty like that. So they will try to cut the tension by laughing.
And yes. And that's it's a different kind of laugh than you would get from just a clever written joke. You get a laugh that's like, oh, we get it.
Yeah. You get a truthful, you get those laughs that stick around and they stay there for a minute, you know, as opposed to those ones that just float away.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's where I'm at with it too, where I feel I can tell the difference between a polite chuckle and like a, whoa, did she just say that? Or a, you know, like a not just, non-voluntary yeah. laugh. Yeah. You know,
yes,
very laugh.
Exactly.
Versus those are the best. Like, yes. And I think I get them from crowd work. So a lot of people say, oh, your crowd work's so great. And I'm like, oh, so are you saying my jokes aren't, you know, I always feel insulted when people are like, your crowd work's really good. I'm like, oh, so the act is, should I just chuck the act? Maybe, you know, I don't know.
It's marriage of the two.
Yeah. Do you do crowd work when you go out, or do you prefer not
to? I prefer not to. I don't. Yeah. I never find myself asking questions. That's the thing I don't really do. Usually, if I'm going to ask a question, it's got to be like somebody has piqued my interest for real. I'm never going to be like, well, what do you do? Or like, where are you from? Just typically because I think that's an ego thing with me where I go, I legitimately don't care. Like so I'm not going to.
But see, that's real because I would probably say I also don't care, but I still ask things. So that would be the difference between what I mean when I say being real versus not being real. Being not real is asking someone a question you don't care about the answer to. Yeah, right?
I just feel like that's always like you're wasting everybody's time. I'm wasting each other's time here. You don't care. I don't care. We're gumming up the works.
I guess sometimes I feel the same way you do, where sometimes there'll be an interesting couple or something and I'll be like, what's your story? And then something interesting comes out of it. And also I have this thing where if I ask something, they'll always give me too much information. Mm-hmm. They always like tell me everything.
You got that type of face.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have that kind of face.
Yeah. Where people want to talk to you and tell you stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Or ask you directions.
Yeah. or they say, oh, will you watch my bag? And I'm like, oh, you think I'm not going to do something? You think I'm not going to steal it? Because I might. I get really insulted. Like, oh, really? You think I'm that trustworthy?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm standing around going, can I hold you back? Can I hold you back? Which really never goes well. Oh.
That's so funny. Yeah. It's funny how much we judge people just by like their way they look. And you don't know what I'm capable of, you know?
Yeah. I think that's as an entertainer, learning that is a great skill, right? To be able to then subvert that, to play against it or to play into it if you need to, I think is a great skill I've learned for use on stage and off stage. Of like, if you think that if you're scared of me and I need you to be scared of me, then I can play that up. But it's also for someone, I've made a living off of like being a large black man. And then people are like, what's up? And I'm like, hi.
Yeah. I always liked that about your act. It's very surprising and very unexpected. And you're just, I think you're very authentic. I think you're a good example of someone who is very real with who they are.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've always liked watching your act.
I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. I think you're a great comedian as well.
Oh, I'm still newish. I still feel very newish, you
know? That's okay.
But yeah.
You can still be great and learning to be better.
That's true. That's the goal, just to get better.
Well, you are now. See, you can do it whenever you choose.
When it's someone else.
Erica, before we wrap up on our last question, we'll do another one of those things. Tell people where they can find you. Tell people the name of the special, but also just tell them where they can follow you if this is their first introduction with you. I'm sure by now they have been charmed. I'm sure by now they want to support you and they want to follow you on your journey to the top. So how can they do that?
Well, Ron, I'm on Twitter. They could follow me on Twitter at Erica Rhodes, or they could follow me on Instagram at Erica Rhodes. My website with upcoming tour dates is ericarhodescomedy.com. And then my special is called La Vie en Rhodes, and it's produced by Comedy Dynamics. It's on Vimeo, iTunes, Apple TV, and all the other platforms, and it will be on Amazon shortly.
That's all that one would say. It is everywhere that you can't get away from it. That is
everywhere except Netflix.
Which that happens. I've been there before. Sometimes they make poor decisions. But then you win more places now. So that's
good. Yes, that's true. That is true.
Okay, Erica. All right. Last question is just for a piece of advice, a little nugget of wisdom, a little pearl, maybe something passed down to you from your childhood, maybe something you've just learned recently in your therapy. I don't really care what it is, as long as it's something that can help our getting better community to get better.
Okay. Piece of advice. Just let's see. I've already talked about being real for the whole podcast, so I won't talk about that again. My advice would be to just do the things you enjoy doing and don't feel pressure. You know, people feel so pressured now to do, I've got to do TikTok. I've got to do Instagram. I've got to do Twitter. I've got to do this. And just go towards the things that you enjoy doing, because those are the things you'll be better at too. You know, and don't try to be an online celeb. Just do the things, you know, you enjoy doing. If it's performing, perform. If it's writing, write. And if it's TikTok, go for it. But hopefully it's not. No, just kidding.
I love it. Just go where your heart is and what makes you happy. I agree with you so many times. Like, you get caught up on, like, well, if this comedian or this, let's take it out of comedy, but with this person, this coworker of mine, this, other student, whatever it is, they're doing this. Should I be doing this? If they're doing that, should I be doing that? And at the end of the day, yeah, I 100% agree. If it's not, I've fallen into that. We're like, well, I guess I mean, the last one for me, I skipped out completely on TikTok, but I went with Snapchat and I was like, I'm an older Black man. This isn't a place for me right now. And I said older Black man like I'm in my 50s. I'm a regular grown Black man in my mid 30s at the prime of my health and life.
But exactly. There you go.
I don't have time for that. But also, I do love my Twitch because I love playing games and I love having fun with those people and talking to them. And it scratches and brightens my little nerdy heart. And I wouldn't go to another comedian and go, oh, should I be on Twitch? I'd be like, well, do you like games? Do you like,
Exactly. Yeah. It should be what you enjoy. Like, I recently started doing blogs, and blogs is like, you know, that's the oldest form of communicating, but I enjoy that. So I feel like it connects to people because that's what I like doing. And people can tell, oh, this isn't like pulling teeth. She like actually wants to write. So,
yeah. And then it's not also like, you know, you see it when everyone starts copying the same memes. They're doing the same thing. And you're just like, oh, you're just doing this now because you feel you have to.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it doesn't. And then I think it doesn't really connect because people can sense that.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I love that. I love your authentic journey that even though you said you weren't going to do a realness one, it turned back into realness.
That's true. Yeah. Thank you.
Erica, I'm so glad that we got a chance to get to know each other just a little bit more.
I hope we get to do more shows together. That would be amazing.
I would love that. You're fun to be with around and you're fun to work with. you're a good comedian and you seem like a wonderful person. I was going to say you are, but I was like, I don't know her 100% to pull a full stamp of approval on that.
Thank you for giving it a little mystery, you know. That's all I want is like, oh, she might be an asshole. You know, we don't know.
Well, whether you are or not, you fooled me. So that's all I care about. Thank you for spending your time with us. Thank you for talking with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ron.
Of course. And thank you guys for listening. Bye.